The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Well, I just went up and I said, consensus on the show is, from our resident chef Ed, is if the root's still in there, you have to get that out. And then I said, you know what? You want to get your hair done anyways, just fly back for a day, get the thing yanked out, and you're good to go.
Hi, Mr. Abbott.
That's Dr. Abbott, DDS. Tim Watley was one of my students. And if this wasn't my son's wedding day, I'd knock your teeth out, you anti-dentite.
I mean, I could do it. I have a pair of needle noses here, but I don't have anesthesia. Well, I got liquid anesthesia.
Oh, I said something about dentists and it got blown all out of proportion.
You think I could do it? I mean, I could do it.
Hey, what do you call a doctor who fails out of med school?
What?
A dentist.
Gabe?
What don't you think you can do? Because I think that's a shorter list of things that you think you can do in the medical world.
That's a good one. Dentist.
Yeah, who needs them?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattice.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride.
Of all the places we could start this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, wrapping up the week, Friday, I think we have to start with the big guy's review of, hold on, wait for it, the pierogi bar.
Meh.
All right, what else?
Well, you were so excited.
I know I was. But, you know, when you go to a place like that, you always measure it against your mother's food. I'm 100% Polish. So are my parents. It's the same.
It's typically how that
I'm
works.
Sure,
that is, that's the process.
So I'm a purebred. Okay. I'm sure it's the same in yours, in Joshy's household.
But like a Dalmatian, right? Like a Dalmatian purebred.
I'm 100% mutt. And then Gabe with German food. So Polish food is bland, right? The spice cabinet in a Polish household consists of salt and pepper, and that's it. So I started with the borscht. It was actually a Ukrainian restaurant, which right next to Poland, right next to Russia. Russian borscht has meat in it.
Okay.
Eh, not a huge fan. It was good.
What kind of meat does it have?
Good. I don't know, possum or raccoon or something like that. Certainly nothing. It's not steak. I don't know what it is. Mystery meat, we'll call it. But it's less vinegary. So I would have given that, based upon, I can't say it because someone will get very sad. Based upon one of my son's borscht, which is outstanding. I won't say which one. I'd give it a C+. And then we moved on to
Is it the one that you told not to look at you when he had the acne? Because this could balance the ledger, if you will.
Let's just say it's his so I get, you know, suck up points.
Okay.
Went on to the Glumkies, which everyone in Wisconsin knows is cabbage rolls. You guys have cabbage rolls before?
Yeah. Love cabbage rolls.
Meh. C+. And then on to the main attraction, pierogies.
I mean, it's a pierogi bar. I mean, this was... If they can't do this right, I don't think you can ever go back.
Too cute. I don't need parsley. I don't need oregano. I don't need any of that stuff on it. Just fry them in a pan. Salt and pepper. Delicious. Little sour cream on it. And I'm good to go.
I mean, you're right. You're correct. That's exactly how I like my pierogies as well.
Yes. So, overall grade, C+.
I'm having a hard time here.
Why? Is the issue that they were too flavorful? It seems like
too much flavor, damn it.
It's hard to parse out here because your whole thing on borscht and Polish food altogether is how bland and boring and not that good it is, but everyone eats it.
Can I tell you what you reminded me of immediately as soon as you started trying once again to sell us on the bland, boring Polish food? You remember that scene in Space Jam where the guy wants to join the team and he's like, I may not be very tall, but I'm slow. And then the Looney Tunes are like, and fat, or large, I think is the word that they use. That's what it reminds me of when you're trying to sell us the Polish food.
Look, wait, so did you want to send it back because it tasted too good?
It was fine. I brought it home.
You have to put too much seasoning on this, sir. Please cut back on the salt.
I want oregano, Gabe, and I want parsley. I'll go to an Italian restaurant. Bland is okay. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with bland.
That's very incorrect.
No.
Usually when
we... Then you can add whatever you want. Like horseradish is delicious. They had a horseradish mustard with the kielbasa.
Oh, come on. You would have thought that you and horseradish mustard, that would have put it over the top.
Yeah, but is that really the restaurant? That's not the restaurant. They're just pulling it out of a jar.
Did they make it?
I doubt it.
So what you're saying is So really, you don't like the pierogi. Is you want it to be bland so you can dip it. It can be a vessel for something else.
Thank you.
So you actually don't like the pierogi. You like the horseradish. You want the pierogi to
like
be bland.
The
again, because it's just the vessel for the horseradish.
Did you tell them that you didn't enjoy the meal? Like, this is a question for you. When you leave and they're like, how was everything? What do you say?
Well, first the waiter came over. And the friends we went with said the last time they went, the owner came out and there was, you know, a Ukrainian waiter and stuff like that. So this guy really, I got a good laugh out of it too. He wasn't speaking very well. So with not speaking English very well, you would assume that he is maybe Ukrainian or Polish or Russian. So on the menu, it just said cabbage rolls, where everything else was in Polish or Ukrainian. So I said, why don't you guys on the menu call the cabbage rolls galumpkis? And he's like, I don't know. I'm not Ukrainian. And I said, oh, you're just dumb. I thought you were Ukrainian. And he still didn't understand. I got a good chuckle out of that.
Okay. But again, did you tell them that it was good or not? Because, Gabe, I imagine when you go to a restaurant, Gabe, and things aren't great, you're saying it was wonderful.
If something's bad, I want to get out of there as soon as possible.
But are you going to let them know that it's bad so that they can improve it for the next person?
They're not going to improve anything. If you think you going, oh, yeah, this wasn't good, is going to lead to improvements at a restaurant, you have a inflated self-importance.
If you tell people their food wasn't good when you're there, you deserve to be institutionalized.
Wait a minute. Time out. I'm not saying say the food wasn't good, but I think you can say, and I have said, hold on, hear me out. I want you to hear the nuance in what I'm about to deliver. I did not enjoy it.
Yes.
You can say I did not enjoy it when they ask you how your meal was. 100%. 1,000,000%, actually.
But what does that accomplish? You think they're changing something because you didn't enjoy it?
You're just letting them know that... wasn't your favorite.
Okay, so you're not going back. They can now expect not
correct
to see your face.
I will also not. Well, no. I could return and order something else. It's not an indictment on the entire menu. It's just I did not enjoy this. What is wrong with saying I didn't enjoy this shoe?
What's the point?
Well, let me just tell you this. Here's who we went with. 100% Polish. I went with a couple where the wife is Jewish and... the husband is Hungarian, and obviously Angie's Italian.
First of all, congratulations on the United Nations. Second of all, what does this have to do with anything?
Angie ordered French fries. Uh-huh. That's it.
That's troublesome.
She thought it was absolutely disgusting.
Because she's used to Italian food that has, spices and flavor.
But was she saying it all when she when the guy's like, oh, for your entree? She's like, no, just French fries. That's it. And when she was plugging her nose, that I think they get the point.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's obviously not having a good time. I'm surprised you were able to convince her to go to this place if she was so anti.
Chewy, I need to know where you stand on this. I need to know where you stand on if you do not enjoy a meal. Take your expectations out of it, because it sounds like you went into this with pretty high expectations. It was going to have to be like a Michelin type of place in order for you to be able to match your expectations. But if they ask you after the meal if you enjoyed it, how was everything, would you say, I didn't really enjoy it. It wasn't my favorite. Would you say something to allude to, it didn't work for me?
I think that's understood when you go to a Polish restaurant, though.
What?
Is the expectation.
Nobody actually likes it. I don't know why the restaurant exists.
Jen,
but people show up, they don't actually like the food.
The expectations going in there are so low, it really doesn't matter.
You're killing me.
Telling a restaurant that you didn't enjoy your meal is akin to asking someone how they're doing, and then they just trauma dump or give you every... I don't care what you actually
Gabe
think. I don't.
Then don't ask.
There's a new thing going on the internet, too, of people holding PowerPoints for what they do at work for their friends and family members.
Hilarious.
I'm going to be honest with all of you. I don't give a crap what any of you do. Tell me where you work and the general overview. I don't give a damn what you do at work. It doesn't matter. Don't tell me your work stories. And don't tell me you didn't enjoy your food. Shut up and leave. Pay. Go.
Give me the money and get out.
Are you trying to tell me that there are no restaurants out there that if enough people say, I didn't enjoy it, they'll have a heads up that maybe things are going to go sideways sooner than they think? Like, to me, you're doing them a service. You're saying... it wasn't great. And then if I have enough people who fess up and are honest, to me, this is all about avoiding confrontation. And it's not a confrontation. It is just an honest assessment of what I just experienced.
Yeah, it's not a confrontation. Hey, this food that is your heritage and has been brought up through generations, you're pretty bad at making it. Why don't you try something else?
Well, wait a minute.
Why don't you move over to burgers
Chewy
and wings
can roll
instead?
Up on the radio, and he can give a blasting Yelp review, but he doesn't say it to them, so they hear about it and can do something about it. To me, there's a hypocrisy there. Like, you can, you know what I mean? If you go home and your friends are like, hey, how was the new restaurant you just popped into? You know, should we go? And you say, no, you shouldn't. That's going to affect their bottom line. Whereas you could have given them a heads up that,
But they're not taking that as a heads up.
Some places would. Absolutely.
Like where? So you're telling me that if one person goes, yeah, this wasn't my favorite.
Not one person. It would have to be multiple. This is what I'm trying to get to, guys. We need a wave of people to sack up and be able to say, I did not enjoy it.
Again, they'll figure it out if they didn't.
The doors
are going to close.
And I'm saying you can help them figure it out sooner by saying something.
No, that's just that's an inflated self-importance going on. Like, oh, my review
customer
is going to help them. No, it's not. No, you saying it wasn't my favorite, that is an opinion that has no bearing on anything.
Right, but if enough people convey that over time, Chew, it feels like maybe they might be tipped off that what they're doing isn't working.
But the best engine for reviews now, it's no longer Google. It's not Yelp, because those things are fake. They're fake, okay? There's companies over in China that send fake Google reviews. And it's bad down here. And I'll give you an example. Angie went and had her tooth glued back on yesterday. I don't know why, okay?
Wait,
but the Google reviews were outstanding. She went there. This place was terrible, horrible, the worst. Their Google reviews were unbelievable. The place people need to go now is the Nextdoor app, because they shoot straight on the Nextdoor app.
Oh, I met the CEO of Nextdoor when I was at that Home Depot event last week.
There you
go. That's amazing. Yeah.
You guys follow that at all, Nextdoor app?
I do not, no.
No, I don't need to spy on my neighbors. Too nosy. Mind your own business, everyone.
Josh, this is Friday. It's not Monday.
The thesis of this segment is just leave Josh the hell alone.
And leave everyone else alone.
But you want to know something?
Stop posting images from your little doorbells.
But you want to know something? I only know that because he's articulated so clearly over the last 15 minutes. So what does that say? Okay? okay? You got to tell people how you feel. That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm going to be honest here. When I had different...
Oh, as opposed to before when you were being dishonest with us.
Yeah. As somebody who worked in different positions here, not always in an on-air capacity, I never had to tell anyone to leave me alone. They just knew looking at me. You can generally tell when somebody... If somebody's honestly looking for answers, maybe you can suss that out. When somebody comes out and says, how was the food? And it's like the maitre d' or somebody working there. They don't give a rip. They're just trying to be friendly. When I'm sitting at my desk with my hood up, headphones in, and not looking at you, you know, leave this guy alone. I feel like I give that aura off pretty well.
It is a vibe that Joshy does project. Can confirm.
I will say this. You and I are soul brothers. Okay? Hey, Jen's got RBF again. No, that's just her face. Ashton weighing in on the private talk and text line. Ashton, of course, former producer of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And as he has stated in our text chain, as the only restaurant owner in this chat, Jen is right. Polite, constructive feedback is extremely appreciated. Doesn't mean I'll listen and change, but I will note it so that if multiple people make the same observations, I will consider a change.
He's a liar because I told him his steak sandwich could have been better, and I thought he was going to cry. I did. That's Gabe, when he came out to the, I didn't like the bun or whatever, or the pocket or whatever the thing was.
Oh, the meat tornado? Or like they got rid of the cones, but I mean the Sid steak is probably the most popular thing on his menu. He sells out every weekend.
Is that new?
I mean last year they got rid of the cone.
The cone wasn't good.
Also, he's still a rookie. He's got some learning to do.
Oh.
You gotta turn into a hardened veteran of the business.
Yes, chef.
Do your thing. Do it well. Who cares?
But if you don't do it well, I should be able to tell you you're not doing it well. We got Jason Wilde coming up next. Of course, we will ask him this and what is going on with the Green Bay Packers. Got to tell you guys, lots of reaction on this rolling in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. We will get to that as the show rolls on a Friday.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
We have come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
We are having a philosophical, behavioral argument here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So naturally, we're going to bring in Jason Wilde and see what he thinks. Now, I have a feeling I know where he's going to stand on this just based on previous conversations, but you never know. Jason, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Chewy went to a pierogi bar last night, where he was underwhelmed by the offerings. And so I asked him, when that happens, and someone says to you on your way out, how was everything? Do you ever say, not that great. I did not enjoy my meal. Or not my favorite meal. Or needs improvement. Something along those lines to offer constructive criticism so that the company and the ownership understands that, maybe you're slipping a little bit. Of course, Gabe said, that's ridiculous.
Well, but again, like, who's asking you this? Is it the waiter? You think the waiter's passing this message along to the owner or chef?
Could be. At most of those types of restaurants, the waiter is a kid of the owner who is in the kitchen making the food.
No, it's not getting passed along. It's this message is dying with the person that you are telling it to, who, much like Joshy, doesn't give a rip.
First of all, just to refresh my memory, because it's been a long time, that's the sandwich in Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah. We were talking about that this morning as well. So the Pittsburgh Pirates are doing a pierogi hot dog, which has like pierogi, pickles. What's the meat? There's a meat on there
as
well.
I think it's a hot dog.
Yeah, but there's something else.
Oh, there's another meat?
Of the hot dog, there's another meat. God bless America. I thought I would know this off the top of my head. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, so no, it's not that. Chewy just went to a Polish restaurant in Florida.
Pot roast. Foot-long hot dog topped with potato pierogies, pot roast, pickles, and onions.
Good grief. What a gut buster. Anyway, he was very excited.
A pierogi is not a sandwich.
Now you're thinking of the Primanti brothers, I think. I'm not positive, but you said Pittsburgh and sandwich.
A pierogi is dumpling, basically.
I thought that was their yes. Too. Okay.
The sandwich is the one that has French fries on it, right? It's like a...
Yes, yeah. And the coleslaw, yes. They put it, all in the sandwich at one time.
Primanti, I think is the name.
That's called, I don't know, it's Primanti Brothers is the brand, but aren't those are not pierogi sandwiches?
No.
I'm pierogi's just... Okay.
It's just a dumpling, Jason. They're trying to invent a sandwich, which doesn't sound good with a pot roast in it.
Gross. Got too much flavor for Chewy.
Of course, they'll never know because Chewy won't tell them.
I was going to say, I appreciate the fact that you're willing to tell the pirates that this sounds like a bad idea, but you're not willing to tell anyone at the restaurant. Is that what I'm gathering? Or did you actually say something on your way out? Because I did not catch
Jason, it's stuff. Like when you go into a Polish restaurant, the best it's going to be, the best, is a B. That's it. It's a B. So you walk in there like knowing that. It's never going to be an A. It's never going to be. It's just, we're very, I don't know.
Okay. So why would you go to a place where you know the best it's going to be is a B? Just because you love
me? Because it reminds me of my mother's cooking.
Nice.
Now he's taking out his mom.
Well, to be fair, in the first segment, he said that it could never compare to his mom's cooking, right? Wasn't that the gist of it?
I guess, but now he's taking out her cooking. I don't know. The dude's all over the place today.
He is all over the place.
Best you could get from her was a B+. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Look, when I go to a restaurant, and if I find a restaurant that's good, I stick with it. I don't want to go to another restaurant because I don't know if it's going to be good. I go to the same. Totally. I have like three of them, and I rotate. I don't want a fourth because then you go there and you're like, this sucked. I wasted a whole night just rolling the dice if this restaurant is good when you could have just went to your old standby and it's outstanding. That's how I roll.
Mickey's and De Pere. Yep.
Sammy's. Or Sammy's on Oneida. Best, right, Jason?
Yep, that's you. I love it. All right. I apologize for not fully understanding the pierogi concept. I am more likely to provide feedback. I am not, though, going to deliver that to someone who is not somewhere high on the food chain. And I think I would like to think that I am pretty good at delivering constructive, not overwhelmingly negative feedback. So the gasping in the background from Jen tells me that was not the answer she was anticipating.
I thought that you would be in Gabe's camp of mind your business.
Tell him it was fine, pay your bill, and move on.
Because I have said that if someone asks me and it was underwhelming, I would give them a heads up. Not to say change the whole thing, but to put it on the ledger. And if you have more people who are candid with their experiences and are similar in kind, maybe you'll have a heads up that things aren't going as well as you want them to go. And then when the old bankruptcy notice comes along, you're not shocked by it.
So in the event the person gets offended, then what?
Well, then what? That's on them.
Yeah, but now you're in a confrontation with someone. What I'm trying to say, I've never once gone wrong minding my own damn business. Not once in my life. So if I can avoid the 25%, 30%, 50% chance the person gets mad, offended, and then is upset at me, why not do it? Because I don't need that in my life.
Fascinating, because Josh spends 3 hours every day during Wildy's house offering very harsh critiques of all kinds of things that are occurring.
Yeah, and I've heard you call in. I've heard him call in to KBN as well. Doesn't seem like you're avoiding conflict there, big guy.
Yeah, those are people I know I can yell at, and they'll get over it, and they'll find it funny and move on. Not strangers.
Sounds like someone's a little backed up and needs some nookie, Joshy, today. Holy cats. Jason, are mock drafts stupid? I can't stand them. They're so beat down. I mean, enough is enough for crying out loud. Wait. Everyone's got a mock draft.
Wait, did you just get mad at Joshy for being upset?
Jason, are you with me?
Yeah, they're okay. No, they're fine. I'm under my own business. No, I absolutely hate them. I think they're terrible journalism. I think they're crap. I think and look, I know there are a lot of other. I want to thank the Wisconsin State Journal publicly for not asking their Packers writer to do this kind of crap just to get clicks. You know what people are doing? They're basically filling out their NCAA tournament brackets, except
yes.
It's the draft. And then, I took six defensive players in my latest mock draft. Yeah, and you don't know, you know what, about who Brian Gutekunst wants or likes. Our job is to provide insight and sometimes entertainment, but our job is to use our knowledge. You played in the league for nearly a decade. You know, the three of us that are with you on this program, sorry, Joshy, because I don't want to get any more confrontations with you. We have experience covering the league, covering sports. We have insight into it. Just guessing on who they might draft is none of that. And I don't understand, like, I understand why Mel Kiper does it, okay? Mel Kiper. And he explained it to us one time when he was on with Tausch and me, because I frankly asked him, I'm like, Mel, help me understand why there's like Mel's mock draft 6.0. Like, if you're not trying to predict where players are actually going, then why are you attaching them to teams? And now Mel's the GOAT. I get it. And I thought he did a great job of explaining that it's a vehicle for him to give different scouting reports of different players that are in the draft, and it's not necessarily supposed to be predictive, then we shouldn't do it as, at 25, I have the Packers taking Cooper DeJohn. Like, I could not agree with you more. I don't like it. I don't understand it, and it has become the draft industrial complex. I don't care if random guy has seven mock drafts. Like, I just don't. It really is like, please tell me who you have in your final four, or tell me about how your bracket is busted. And yet we don't hold those mock drafts to that standard at all, right? Nobody goes back and says, oh, this guy got four guys right in terms of the teams that they went to. Even the people that grade these after the draft say, oh, well, he got 27 of the 32 players that went in the first round. I'm sorry, we shouldn't do it this way. I hate it. I can't believe how vehemently I agree with you.
I mean, I got, as somebody who likes mock drafts, like, I'm not taking them
as... you're wrong.
I'm not taking them as gospel truth. I like looking at them because then it helps me compile a list, Jason, of, okay, here are some players who could potentially be available to the Packers when they're drafting at 25, or if they move up. Like, it to me, it's right. It's a nice tool of, okay, here are some guys that are looked highly upon by people who do some different scouting work, like Mel Kiper Jr., who writes up all these different scouting reports, and I can now compile a list, so when we're sitting out at the Q Club in Waukesha on draft night, we kind of have an idea of, okay, here's who the Packers could potentially be interested in.
Right, but that's not the same, Gabe. And the fact that you mentioned Mel Kiper, I would mention Dane Brugler.
Yeah, Dane does a really good job
for The Athletic. He is the new Joel Buxbaum. That's different. Like the three names that I just mentioned are all guys that watch film themselves, that do their own rankings, that have all kinds of insight into the players. Joel Buxbaum passed away many years ago, but he and Mel were the two that wrote like the Bibles. Like, I bought those every year, except apparently 2000 when Tausch claims he wasn't in the book, and then Mel called and said he was. But I don't like, that's great. But what about all the other Yahoos that put theirs out, or this new concept now? the 7-round mock draft for just the team that you cover. Here's my 7-round mock draft for the Packers. Like, I don't think that this is anything more than filler for people to read while they're waiting for the draft and free agency is over and there's not a lot going on. This is my philosophy. There are definitely people that don't subscribe to it. But, yeah, I'm interested in what Dane has on every player. I'm interested in what Mel has on every player. But there's I think, and Chewy, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the proliferation of everybody and their brother. Like, Chewy could put out a mock draft. Like,
oh, yeah.
And people would look at it. And Chewy doesn't know jack about who the Packers might be interested in. Sorry, Chewy. Neither do I, by the way. So I agree with you, Gabe. If you're getting ready for our draft coverage and you get Dane Brugler's beast, I believe is what The Athletic calls it. I mean, he's great. I love his work. And he works his ass off. Put that together. Same with Mel Kiper. He is a grinder. But everyone else is just looking for free clicks. And so if you're telling me that you're getting something out of some dude at, I don't want to slight anybody, some random website, I just don't agree. I don't think you're any closer to being knowledgeable on the Packers draft pick if that's what you're doing.
Jason, I'm glad you mentioned Mel Kiper Jr.'s book from 2000, because yesterday I made a bit of a purchase on eBay for $103 plus $11.95 shipping and handling.
I purchased
the Mel Kiper Jr. 2000 draft book, along with the other five that they were offering.
Oh, my God.
Had to buy him in a lot.
I say this with nothing but love in my heart for you, Jennifer. You are a complete idiot.
Well, I want to see if Tausch is in it.
Wait a minute. So I had discovered that during the show. I messaged the person who was selling them. And I said, hey, look, this is going to sound crazy, but I do a radio show with one of the former NFL players that's in the 2000 book. I'm wondering, I don't need all six books. I just need the 2000 one. Would you be willing to sell that one separately and relist your item? I'm happy to just pay for the one book. And the woman emailed me back and said, I would have been happy to do that, but someone bought it all the time.
Oh!
and what is amazing to me is my first thought was, what are the odds of some idiot buying these books right when I was asking for it just
That's
for Tausch,
funny.
And it turns out to be you?
As I was doing it, I was like, this is going to be so great. We're going to flip open the book. We're going to find out if Tausch was in it or not. Again, I don't mind. It was $100. It's a nice little...
Can you expense that?
Are you going to charge Wilde and Tausch a fee for when you appear on their show to reveal if Tausch was in it?
No! I'm going to enjoy opening up the Mel Kiper Jr. 2000 draft report. Who was on the cover? LeVar Arrington, I think. Yeah, LeVar Arrington from Penn State. Yeah. And seeing if, in fact, Mel Kiper wrote up Mark Tauscher in the draft report. That's going to bring me immense joy. It's like Christmas morning, guys.
I can't believe you're the one who bought it.
Can't you really? I mean, can you really not believe that I bought it?
Let me be clear. You telling me this story, had I not done what I did yesterday, yeah, I could totally see you doing it. Great. But when she messaged me and said, I would have been happy to do that, but someone already bought the set. And I thought, what are the chances of the one day that I bring this up on the radio, some random person in the eBay universe decided to buy Mel Kiper's old guidebook?
Well, wasn't as random as you thought.
Oh, my God.
Well, the good news is we will have a reveal next week as to whether or not Mark Tauscher is, in fact, in the 2000 Mel Kiper Jr.
You can't open it when it gets home. I think you have to do the reveal on the air.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think you have to come on with Wilde and Tausch, find a time next week, and do the reveal live on their show.
What do you think, Jason?
I think that's a great idea. I am absolutely, it's not often on your show. I know I do a lot of rambling on your show, Mom, but I'm not speechless very often. I can't believe this. I cannot believe this is how this played out. I'm just so stunned by this. It's amazing. I look forward to you joining us once your books arrive.
Yeah, they should be here by Monday for sure.
Jen also paid $11.95 shipping. Like, I was trying to find a much cheaper way to get this book.
You know what this means, Jason? I don't have my $120 to spend at Pottawatomie this weekend. That's all that this means, all right? So I'll be staying home tonight instead of going over to our friends at Pottawatomie and placing some bets on some games.
Well, you can always, once you get your books, you can always relist them on eBay, all the ones that aren't the 2000 one, and try and recoup some of your purchase.
That's not a bad idea. Jason, thanks for hanging out with us. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
All right. Jason Wilde, of course, can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Monday through Friday. Wait, what's that face shaking your head?
How did we not lead with that?
Because I wanted to wait till Jason was on. Oh, you mean with Jason?
With Jason.
I wanted his response on the restaurants. We got Craig Karmazin coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
I am so impressed with Jordan Love, you know, and I think, like, Packers fans should feel so good about Jordan Love.
Fridays with Mo.
I think Rodgers never spoke out and was direct, and Giannis should be praised for being clear so that everyone knows, hey, Giannis told the organization what he wanted.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend, Friday. We love catching up with our friend and boss, Craig Karmazin. Good morning, Craig. How's your Friday going?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, to you as well. Hey, you know, Chewy went to a restaurant last night and was underwhelmed by how it all shook out. Are you one of those people that tells people when things are not great? You know, if you go to a restaurant and they say, how was everything? And you didn't enjoy your meal or your experience, would you articulate that in some way, or are you a coward?
Well, is the service the bad part? Was the food the bad part? Like, what's the knock?
Because
I think that's important to understand.
The food. Yeah. But, Craig, it's so, like, I mean, Polish and Jewish food is very similar. Kugel, kreplach. It can only get so good. Would you agree? I mean, it's never going to get to a 4.0. It's only going to get to like a 3.5. So you got to change the scale on it.
I mean, I don't need any of that stuff besides matzo ball soup. Matzo ball soup, yeah. like a 10. That's delicious.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's Polish?
No, that's Jewish.
Okay.
Very good.
So,
but
to me,
it's not as good as
the service is good. So, first of all, I don't know why you'd go to a restaurant that's not going to be good. So I think that's your fault. And so there's nothing to tell anybody if you're saying you went to a restaurant that you didn't expect to have good food. But in the scenario, you say, hey, I just want to let you know you were so great. But if someone asks you what they should order, I wouldn't recommend them the chicken in the future. Like, I think you just tell them, like, hey, that item wasn't good, but you were great from a service standpoint. Easy, easy peasy.
Yeah, I agree. Again,
you think that's getting relayed back to the chef or owner, though?
No, I don't care about that in that spot. Because I'm a person who goes to the restaurant and says, when they say, what do you want? I'll say, just give me what you think is the best thing on the menu.
I
need the servers. Yeah, not to me.
What if Chewy is your server and it's borscht?
I'm not a foodie, and like, I think the server sees how people react to their meals, and I think they're the best person to pick at a restaurant what you should eat, not me, who's never been there.
Yeah, but you've existed on this planet. You understand what the dishes on the menu are.
Right, like a chicken parm. Yeah. Doesn't vary too much from place to place, you know what I mean?
Nah, but to me, again, like, a chicken parm might be the best thing you're going to get at some places, but if a server's like, oh my God, you got to try the pick of the whatever here. I don't know about you foodie things. Like, I would be like, okay, I'll have the pick of the foodie thing.
Are you confusing foodie with just a general person who enjoys food?
I think so. Yeah, I don't really care about food. So that's when I go to a restaurant, I just say, I'll take whatever you recommend. And if the chef can make it a little spicy, that'd be great. And then they say, well, should I check? I'm like, no, just bring whatever and I'll be fine.
Craig, if we had a company event at the Masters next week, 30 people going, and you said, Chu, I can't go. I'm putting you in charge of the group. And I came back and reported to you and said they were unprofessional. What would that mean to you?
That our team was unprofessional? I would think at the Masters, that means that they would have had their phones out. They would have drank too much. They would have been loud. I guess that's what I would think that means.
So why did Doc Rivers call the Bucks unprofessional on the road?
I mean, I think it's because we have seen under Doc Rivers, we've seen the best version of the Bucks a few times. We've seen the game against the Oklahoma City Thunder, which to me is the one that stands out the most, where, you know, more than Celtics early in the year where the Celtics were coming off a back-to-back, or more than the Clippers game without Giannis at home, which was a really connected, good defensive effort, where we've seen what this team looks like when they're playing at a focused, intense, connected level. And when you see a team that good, like, and then you see them play the way they've played the last few games, like, you know they're not approaching the game in the same way. So I think it's apparent that it's not the same attitude and preparation being brought to the game by the team.
Okay, let me just follow up on that really quick. Sorry, Gabe. But we keep talking about how the regular season doesn't matter. All that matters is what you do in the postseason. Is it fair to hold guys to a certain level of standard, behavior, professionalism, etc., if you've been preaching that the regular season, or if you've been under the belief that the regular season doesn't matter? See, to me, the team probably thinks that they can flip a switch once the postseason starts, once the playoff starts, and then you're going to see professional, high-performing, elite, top team in the league basketball from the Bucks. This is what the players think. And for so right now, even in the games leading up to it, it still feels like they're probably on coast a little bit.
It probably does, but I think as a coach, you're like, I hope you can turn it on. And I've seen maybe 1 out of 10 teams turn it on, but it's pretty rare to see a team just turn it on in the postseason. Now, this team happens to be very veteran-laden. You look at the core of this team, and you look at Giannis and Dame and Chris and Brooke and Bobby and Jay Crowder and Patrick Beverley, and Pat, Connaughton, who's been there, and Bees, who's maybe the least experienced in the big spots of all of those guys, right? This is a really, really experience-laden team. So that team may feel it could turn it on, but as a coach, you're probably like, I hope they can turn it on, but I don't want hope to be my strategy when, I'm here to win a championship.
You in Cleveland, Craig?
I should be in Cleveland. I'm in Chicago for dance this weekend. So we have a convention that I'm attending. So I am going to be locked in tonight to the Final Four. This has been so transformational. The last time the Final Four was in Cleveland, I was there in 2007. And there were all these stars in the Final Four that year in the women's game. And I was so excited to watch the games. And then the quality of play just like left me like kind of like lacking a little bit. And when I look at how those teams and, that Final Four in 2007 – the legacy that then leaves, because, the Caitlin Clarks of the world and all of these great players across all four teams alive, they grew up watching those teams. And it's just, the game is just so good. I have watched probably 50% more women's basketball than men's basketball in March this year.
If it's South Carolina, Iowa in the championship on Sunday, will you then go to Cleveland?
I should be again going to Cleveland, but I will not be.
But I am dance.
I will be rooting for Dawn Staley and South Carolina. I rarely root for the favorite type teams, but Dawn Staley is the first person. When I watched her play in the Olympics back in the day in 96. She was the first person where I was ever like, that's who I want to, I wish my game was like her game. And that was the first time I'd ever thought that about a women's basketball player. So Dawn Staley, actually back in 96, and when they launched the first, you know, the WNBA and actually the women's league that was launched before that, Dawn Staley turned me into a women's basketball fan. So I'm riding with South Carolina.
We had a pretty heated conversation the other day about Caitlin Clark's legacy and if she needs a title in order to solidify it and solidify her as the best women's basketball player of all time. What do you think?
I saw Gabe getting a little heated. Gabe, you do not like that narrative, do you?
I hate it. Absolutely hate it. Doesn't make sense to me because, again, like, she's done more over the last 2 years for women's basketball. Like, winning a championship wouldn't have increased all the things that she's done. She's already set the all-time scoring record. 12 million people tuned in to watch an Elite Eight women's game.
So, but, Gabe, like, there's a difference between a legacy of impact on the game and how you rate her from a quality of player, right? I mean, I think you could recognize there's a difference there, right?
Sure, but, like, I mean, if she has that, like, big of an impact,
like,
on the game,
Robinson,
the rest of it's not as important as leaving that big of an impact on the game. Like, I firmly believe a big part of Michael, because if we were just talking about Michael Jordan and being the GOAT of the NBA because he has six championships, well, other people have more championships that were more important, but Michael Jordan saved
the
NBA.
Who's the GOAT of Major League Baseball? Who's the GOAT of Major League Baseball?
I would say Barry Bonds.
Okay, Barry Bonds.
Who never won a championship.
Jackie Robinson? Why don't you say Jackie Robinson?
It could be because he had a huge impact back in the 40s.
Right,
but
right,
I didn't
that's
see
the
but
thing.
Also I didn't
like
see
Caitlin
him play.
Caitlin Clark could be the biggest impact, like Jackie Robinson, and again, not you know, comparing what she's gone through to him.
If Jackie was the all-time hits leader, Craig,
to how you win.
If Jackie was the all-time hits leader, then I think you'd have a conversation. Jackie's not the all-time hits leader. Caitlin scored more points than anybody
Gabe,
in the history
Gabe,
of college
Gabe, Gabe,
basketball.
Gabe, she's
except
not scoring more points. She's not scoring more points if she's on a good team. Jen, you said that last week. It's like Michael Redd when he paid for the Bucks, or Billy Schrader when he was the top receiver for us that 1 year with 90 catches for 100. Doesn't mean he's great.
Don't compare Bill Schrader
to a woman
who led her team to the championship game last year. She was in the championship game last year.
I'm not saying she's not good, Craig.
That's exactly what you're saying. If you compare her to Bill Schrader,
she's the all-time leading scorer because she played on a team with guys or gals.
you can't say
okay?
That when they were in the Final Four this. Then why were they in the Final Four and in the championship?
I'm just saying the GOAT conversation.
500. They're not.
I'm just saying the GOAT. You can't call her the GOAT. You can't call her the GOAT, Craig. That's all I'm saying.
I am with you. If for her to be the GOAT, I think you actually have to take down South Carolina to be the GOAT of all time. You could say she is the number one pick of the draft. She is the best player in the game. She is all that. She is great. Like, I'm not saying that Jay Williams, like, oh, she's not great if she can't win a championship. She's absolutely great. But if you're going to say GOAT, then GOAT.
Yeah.
What if South Carolina loses, Iowa wins, and Iowa doesn't have to go through South Carolina? Like, she can't control that.
She's the GOAT. If she wins a national championship with everything else on her resume, and she made it to the championship last year, you know, that's back-to-back years, and she beat the LSU team that beat her last year, then... very fair for her to be the GOAT.
But she could put up. She could have another 40-point. She could have another 40-point game. Another 40-point game in the Final Four, and then another 40-point game in the championship game. And you're telling me that if she doesn't hoist the trophy, she's not the GOAT? Like, it just seems like a very thin line of, like, greatness, not greatness.
Championships
are weird.
Championships seems broad.
Our team.
It's pretty straightforward.
Accomplishments. Teams accomplish that. Individuals do not, unless we're talking about tennis or golf.
You know they're not. No. Because when they talk about Brady's rings, they don't say, well, those were a team.
All right.
Everything. All right. Brady's the GOAT. The GOAT, the GOAT, the GOAT.
Baseball guy, so this is fair. So can Mike Trout be the GOAT if he never, you know, plays in a World Series?
Yeah. Because one, especially in baseball, one player can't have that impact. You need to have a bunch. And Chewy, since they're not team accomplishments, Just bring your Super Bowl ring in here. I will take care of it for you.
All right. But Tim Tebow the GOAT? Is Tim Tebow the GOAT? Is Tim Tebow the GOAT with two national championships and two Heisman trophies?
In college football, he's in the conversation.
So if Caitlin Clark wins the championship but goes on to the WNBA and is just a gal, she's not even going to – she'll be like, yeah, hell of a bass. She's Christian Leighton.
But they have a college football Hall of Fame and a pro football Hall of Fame so that they can distinguish between people who have had incredible college – there are guys who are in both. There are guys who are in one or the other.
Yes.
But she's Steph Curry, but who rebounds more. Like, she's not going to go to the WNBA and just be another player. She's – I mean, she's the real deal. I mean, we all made that mistake with Steph Curry, and he didn't have the size, and he had weak ankles and all that. So that's part of why people made that mistake with Steph Curry. But that's not the case with her. I think she's in that Mount Rushmore conversation. But if you're totally – if you're not saying there's nine GOATs or seven GOATs, I think you got to win the championship. You're saying to be the GOAT.
Again, I will die on the mountain of championships are team accomplishments and not something that one person does all alone. Because that's just not the way it is.
Of course they're not. Of course they're not. But
no, they're not. Because does Eli get into the Hall of Fame? Does Eli get into the Hall of Fame without two Super Bowls? No way in hell.
Correct.
The only reason he's going to get in is because he won two Super Bowls.
100% you, and I think that's wrong.
I agree. I'm that's with right. you.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, what's and Chewy and
I know. Just let me go, Gabe. We got to go to break.
Chewy and I would argue that there are 10 quarterbacks from his era that were better than Troy Aikman, but Troy Aikman has his three rings because of his team.
Yes.
All right, Craig. That was fun. Yeah, I just sat back and watched that, you know, stuck my finger in the holy water and whatnot. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Have a great weekend, Craig.
I don't understand that reference, but I hope that is clean. Bye.
It's the devil's advocate. Everybody knows it's the devil's advocate. Al Pacino sticks his finger in the holy water. It starts to bubble. He just watches it bubble. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. The hotel is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee with deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music. You'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Book special hotel rates with starting as low as $129 a night. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.